Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome Lindsay Stokes Kennedy and Alexandra Cole, the dynamic duo behind the brand Kennedy Cole Interior Design. In this episode, Lindsay and Alex share their partnership in the business of design and the benefits of collaboration and how it influences their overall client experience. We also discuss the value of clear and honest communication and how it contributes to the ongoing development of a business model that is equally fulfilling for each partner. Before we get started, we'd like to acknowledge our sponsors who help keep the information and inspiration coming week after week. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, and more locations coming soon, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them that you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. This podcast episode is also sponsored by Design Manager, the design trade's most reliable project management, purchasing, and accounting platform. The business of design is complex and requires solutions developed specifically for our industry. Design Manager has invested decades responding to the needs of interior design professionals and continues to deliver innovative tools to manage your design business with efficiency and profitability in mind. Visit designmanager.com to start a free day trial of the tool trusted by the top interior design firms across the country. And now, please enjoy my conversation with Lindsay and Alex of Kennedy Cole Interior Design. Alex and Lindsay, welcome to the podcast, if it isn't the dynamic duo behind the brand Kennedy Cole.
Thank you for having us.
Ladies, I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast. We've had a chance to chat a little bit, and I think that you have a great story about kind of your journey of design and the business of design, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with the listeners. But before we dig into kind of your business model and everything associated with that, which is what we love to talk about, I like to talk about you guys a little bit. So can you each introduce yourselves and just tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. So I'm Lindsay, half of this dynamic duo. I am originally from the Bay Area. I've been down here almost a decade now, maybe. And I love all things California. I really do. I also really have an affinity for potatoes and and dogs. And yeah. Outside of design work, that's what I do.
No one ever talks about potatoes and puppies. No one ever talks about potatoes. Kudos to you.
I don't know how to get through it. Yeah, I don't know how.
And Alex, what's your guilty pleasure?
Right. So I grew up in New York. I also moved to California 10 years ago. I love the beach. I love hiking. I'm outdoorsy. So I like to do all of that stuff. And I also have a rescue dog. So we're big dog lovers over here.
We like our dogs.
All right. So we all love potatoes and we all love California and we all love dogs.
Yes,
we do.
Right. The stage is set.
Right. I feel the French fries.
Oh my gosh. So tell us a little bit about your business. So what I really want to talk about is your partnership in business, because it's something that we haven't talked about a lot on the podcast. So we'll dig into that and unpack that a little bit more. But tell us a little bit about your journey. Did you both go to design school? And, you know, how did you meet and how did this partnership develop? Was it, you know, through, I don't know, it could be anyway, through Instagram, through design school, just, you know, through passing?
Sure. So we did both go to design school, but actually didn't know each other in school. Mm-hmm. And we met in the industry working. We got promoted together. So we were kind of close friends in the industry, going through the same things at the same time, which I think was super helpful in just having somebody to lean on in that. And in 2017, we started our own company with a contractor. And then in 2018, we decided to go on our own even further and branched off from that. And we started Three Salt Design Co. with just the two of us. And it was really a representation of being in Huntington Beach and that coastal aesthetic. Uh-huh. And so in 2021, as much as we do love that, we decided to rebrand and be a little bit more authentic and base it really upon ourselves. So now we are Kennedy Cole Interior Design.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, I mean, it is an evolution and it takes time. And I'm glad that you kind of just shared that brief description of how you got to where you're at right now, because, and I'll probably say this again in this episode, so many designers feel like they've got to nail it right out of the gate, and yeah. You don't have to, you really have to, you have to try things and you have to explore. It is a trial and error process. And naturally we try to minimize that the best that we can. But the reality is, you know, you need to kind of explore and really kind of find your lane.
Yeah. You really don't know until you know. And I think that that has been true for us. I think at every kind of facet, we are happy to try things. We're happy to say, let's, you know, carefully consider this option and see where it takes us. And I think also being able to say that is not the direction I wanted that to go. And I need to stop now, rethink the playing field and, like, you know, really reevaluate what's best for me, for my career trajectory, you know, for who we want to be as professionals.
Yeah, absolutely. What were, what was maybe one or two of the epiphanies, if you're willing to share, that you had about the previous two business models that ultimately evolved into Kennedy Cole?
I think when we first branched out and we had like this three-way partnership, I think everybody wants to contribute equally, right? But I think when you have creatives, design, and then build, everybody's got their own kind of focus. And I think we realized really early on that we really want to focus on service. I think that I think clients don't even realize how much of an amazing service having an interior designer can be. And I think trying to conjoin that with the craziness of construction and building, and, you know, I think that they're two different playing fields and they work well together. But I think at the start, when we wanted to kind of get on our own feet, it was really important that we were offering a service that was, you know, worth it, was really going to change the client's life, not just change their house, but actually change them and how they experience their home and how they want to live, you know? And so I think we realized we need to kind of get closer into our niche earlier on. We don't need to kind of invest more time in this big broad thing. Like, we have something very special that's small and unique. And so I think we really wanted to pour into that. And so I think early on we were like, this is what we need to be doing. And we tried it this way. And once we kind of see that, it's okay for us to sit and say, no, this is the direction that we should be going. This is where we really excel. This is how we give the most to our clients. And so I think that was one of the big epiphanies that pulled us back and made us kind of revisit how we operate.
Excellent. You know, I know you guys are big on the client experience, and we're going to unpack that a little bit more in this conversation, but I think you're right. And thank you for sharing that, you know, again, exploring and kind of seeing how these collaborations can either work for your business and ultimately benefit the client, or, and then identify the deficiencies and really just kind of fine tune and rein it in.
Yeah.
So what was it about a partnership that appealed to you? Because, I'm a solo entrepreneur. I started my design business on my own. Yeah. But then I also, you know, 5 years later joined a team, and I loved collaborating with the team. And then one of the most exciting parts about leaving that team was to kind of work on my own again. So it's kind of this, like, you know, love-hate situation. So I think a lot of designers have that same conversation with themselves in their head, like, one day I'm lonely. I wish I was partnered with someone and it was more collaborative. And then other days, you know, we just like to do our own thing. So what was that process like for you guys?
I think we've kind of struck that balance. And I think that the way that we've gotten there is just really recognizing each other's strengths and leaning into that and leaning on each other to, you know, you take on this because you love it and you're great at it. Mm-hmm. And I'll handle this because it's what makes me happy throughout the day. And then the things that kind of fall in between, we've, you know, worked together to try to figure out what the best way to handle those are, or have tried to grow our team to be able to take that on as well. Mm.
Yeah, the evaluation of strengths, I think, is really important. And so I think we're going back to that whole like checklist situation. Like, I'm just envisioning this eternal flip chart of paper right. and markers. And it's like, okay, you know, like pros and cons, but not pros and cons, just like strengths and weaknesses. Yeah. And that's got to be one of the biggest benefits of partnership in design and business, is that A, you have a sounding board,
yeah.
which everyone needs. And then B, you can really kind of run with your strengths. And so I know that you guys are big on service, but maybe someone is a little, you know, bigger on client interaction and someone's a little bigger on vendor and builder interaction. Mm-hmm. I'm just assuming, you can tell me if that's true, but I would imagine that would be a great example of that counterbalance.
That's a perfect example of that counterbalance. One of us being much more, I used to be a performer, right? So like, I like to talk to the client. I want to be upfront. I want to present these details. I want to, you know, really show you and explain to you and story tell, you know, and I think that that's important in design. I think that it's important as a designer to be able to, you know, be charming, right? I'm convincing you to put a lot of money and a lot of detail into your home, and how I express that and explain that is important, right? But I also need somebody who's going to be extremely level-headed, communicating with vendors and communicating with contractors when issues arise, right? And so a big performative personality maybe isn't that person. We need someone that's a little bit more detailed and technical and will go in and notice those things and call it out in the best way. And I mean, we really have struck a balance. It's a strange one, right? It's amazing to really talk it through, because we often are like, yeah, that's your thing. Or yeah, no, you've got it. Go ahead. And easily. And I think another thing that has always been really important to us is what is important to us, right? We care a lot about the general same things, but if Alex is passionate about something, she cares more than I care, right? And as long as she's not going to drive us off a cliff, that's your thing. I'm going to let you, I'm going to empower you to do your thing and the thing that is important to you, and vice versa. Maybe my layout's a little strange, but I really do just want this small little hoof off to the side for some random person is right. And we can communicate those and why. And at the end of the day, our focus is the client. And I know we'll get to the client experience, but as long as that is at the forefront, we're happy to split the, you know, split everything down the middle. Or if that's important to you, you take it on. And if it's important to you, you've got it.
Oh, for sure. Alex, yeah. Tell us your kind of side, your perspective.
Yeah. So I handle a lot of the build side, the technical oversight, and coordinating with the contractors to make sure that exactly as we've envisioned it and discussed it and planned it out in our heads, it's exactly how it comes out in real life in the house.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I kind of envision this process where I'm going to use, you know, a job walk as an example,
yeah.
where you're both walking through the house and you're both looking at different things. And like, Lindsay, you see something, but you're like, it's all good because Alex is going to bring it up. And then Alex, you see something, you're like, no worries, Lindsay's going to bring that up right now.
Yeah. It's so funny. People joke all the time that we have our own language and we can like read each other's minds. And we kind of are at that point where yeah. with a look, we can tell each other everything.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the drape. She's looking at the drape. We don't need to say the words right now. We'll go. We've got it now, you know? And it's helpful. And it's been good for us.
I love it. It's just that look like, you're going to say something?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So great.
Well, ladies, let's talk about the client experience, because I think that that's very important. And you brought up from the very beginning that you're very service-oriented design business. So let's unpack that a little bit and tell us the value of and importance of that being a key component to your business model.
At the core, right, is everyone wants repeat business. Everybody wants to have a good business that is that people talk well about, you know, that the accolades are not just this is a beautiful room, but I loved working with them, right? And I think that that is extremely important, just like as a just base kind of model. And then I think we wanted to really just grow on that. And I think that from the start, I have always envisioned a company that just really pours into the people that work here. And in turn, we pour out a really amazing service, a really just concierge level, always there for you type of service. And so thankfully, Alex was like, yeah, that sounds good to me. And it's not always the experience that we've had as designers, right? Like giving, depending on the different kind of industries that we've been in or the different companies that we've worked for, sometimes you can't give every single thing. You can't be there every day. You can't give that service. And other times you don't want to, right? You don't want to be there 24/7, like taking texts and stuff. But for the most part, we know that the client really appreciates it. It is the difference between doing their next house or, you know, getting more work, or, you know, it is the difference between having a room that is beautiful versus a room that is so authentically curated for that client. And it all starts with the client experience. I think communicating with that client, really understanding them. We came from a background where clients came to the designer for their style and like to get that look, right? And I think now we have curated a service that really allows the client to come to us to tell us what they want. Not what color on the wall, but like, how do you want to live? How do you want to experience your life in your home? How do you want your kids to roll out of bed? How do you want to really experience what you've worked hard for? That allows us to do the pretty stuff, but it also allows us to curate a relationship with the client that makes them so comfortable, that makes them, you know, they want to talk about everything. I mean, we get invited to things. It's like, come on over, let's eat. Cause it's such an intimate relationship now that everybody feels comfortable all the time. And I think that it really just starts with understanding my client is the top priority. We want to pour into them so that they in turn can pour into us.
Yeah, I've found in my experience that that process is far more rewarding. I've had both types of clients. We've had the type of clients that were like, hey, we just want you to tell us what to do. Just make it amazing. That's what I'm hiring for. And there's some pros to that as well. Yeah. But the best clients were the ones that were involved in the process, not too much, but involved in the process and really kind of, you know, were collaborative in that regard. And I think that the finished product was just so much more fulfilling because they loved it and it worked for them. And it reflected their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's the most important part. When we changed our branding and when we rebranded, Authentically Beautiful Homes was so important because of the authentic part. I mean, mm-hmm. we really do focus on function, on the livability of your home specifically for you. And, you know, so often they're going to bring me a Pinterest picture, right? And I just want this look. And I'm like, but didn't you say that you've got a big old dog? What? You want this white linen ottoman and this white, right? So like, I want to build a home that works for you. I don't want to build a home out of a picture. I want you and me to have such good communication, so fluid, so constant that I know exactly what you want. I'm so clear on it that I can pull it together really confidently. And I think that it has shifted really the outcome. It's not just like, oh, do you love this really pretty house? Now it's like, that's my thing. You know, like they can see it. Oh, I knew I needed something like that. And it really does shift the end experience for everybody.
We're taking a quick break to acknowledge our podcast sponsor, Sunset West, the design trade's premier resource for outdoor furnishings. Founded upon a family legacy of fine furnishings and a culture of excellence, the California-based company is dedicated to providing premium, casual furnishings and personalized service to the design trade. Each distinct collection is impeccably designed with quality and comfort in mind, and handcrafted in premium finishes and materials that bring life and style to the outdoors. With over 20 collections to choose from, in a variety of materials and styles, along with hundreds of custom fabric and COM options, Sunset West is your design partner for stylish outdoor furnishings. Visit sunsetwest.com to view their entire line and to locate a showroom near you. You know, I made a note here about boundaries because I want to chat for a second about that, because I truly believe that that level of service, that type of client experience can certainly be achieved without sacrificing boundaries. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of the best things that we've really found in the clients that value us and respect our process is that they respect ours because they respect theirs. And they know that a lot of them are busy professionals. Work time is work time. Home time is home time. They value that this is our career, that we love it, but that we also go home to our families at the end of the day. And knowing that we'll be there first thing in the morning to pick it back up, I think gives them a lot of peace of mind to be able to have that boundary and say, you know, work hours are over, but first thing tomorrow, I'm going to hear from them.
Mm-hmm. That is so important. And that's an ongoing conversation that I think we should continue to be having in the design community forever. I'm sorry that it took so long to even start this conversation. I think that many design professionals were having this dialogue again in their head and not with each other. And now that we can all talk about it with each other and just learn tips and strategies to really kind of establish and enforce those boundaries, just makes the process, I'm not going to say easier, but more bearable, because it can be overwhelming.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we get it. It's important stuff. You want to let us know right away. Right. And we want to know right away, but there's only so much I can do at 9 at night, you know, if the shiplap's not the right color. Right. So there's only so much I can do. And I think that, what is important to us is being proactive. So we make sure that, you know, we've had those experiences where a client has been left on red for 2 days because we're so busy or we're at an install, and then their response now is not the response we want. So I just don't let that happen anymore. That's just not allowed, right? Like, now we need to make sure that at the start of the day, every client response goes out, even if it is, I need to get back to you at this time. If when clients are informed, they are way more bearable, you know, like they're, as long as they know what is going on, for the most part, people are typically respectful of what you have to do, you know, and the reasonable. So as long as we're setting those expectations, right, I can't expect to constantly be available to someone and then fall off the face of the earth and not get a response. Like, we have to all be human enough to know, like, I wouldn't like that if it was the other way around. Right. And so we want to make sure that we're always thinking like that, like, would I like that? Would that make me feel good if I was spending this money, if I was expecting, trusting someone really, right? With the most intimate investment I've made, my home and my kids' rooms and my bathroom, right? And so I just want to make sure that we always are considering it like that. Would I appreciate that I haven't heard from my designer? Would I appreciate that? So we try to make sure that we are proactively putting in place, they have to get responded to within this much time. If it's this long, you have a revision, it's going to take this long, you need to let them know, right? So everybody is just constantly in the know, at which point you don't got to text me. you know when it's coming. Yeah. So,
email's fine.
It's all fine. Keep it in the email.
And that is such great practical advice, actually. And it's something that I learned kind of late in the game, and I try to practice as much as I can. Like you said, a response doesn't have to be a solution. It can just be a response. Yeah. And you're right, by turning the tables and putting yourself in the client's shoes, because I hit send and then I'm like waiting. I mean, I know exactly what I do, and I'm checking every 30 minutes to see if I've got, I don't necessarily expect a response immediately, but I am looking for it. So it's like, you know, even if you're not going to get that response in a reasonable time frame, I just sent an email this morning saying, hey, listen, I promise I'm not ignoring your email. I just don't have the time right now to respond in the way that I'd like to. And so sit tight. I'm on it, and I'll be in touch.
Yep. You know. Sometimes that's all it takes.
It's all it takes. Yeah. Hopefully. We'll see.
Keep us posted.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
So Alex, can you tell us maybe, give us some examples of some challenges now with this variation, with this business model that you have experienced as a partnership and how you've overcome them. I know that this is only, what, about a year into it now, but there's a lot of designers who are also about that same amount of time into their new business and would be curious to hear what sort of challenges that you all may have experienced in developing your business of design and how you overcame them.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the kind of unique things about our partnership is that we started with two of us. And so it wasn't an immediate need to bring on a team member. There was a lot of delegation and back and forth that we could do between us. Mm-hmm. But at some point, we have to go.
Yeah.
And so I would say that has been one of the most challenging, but also most rewarding things that we've gone through and learned a lot from is just, where do we invest in creating the best team that we can have? And how do we bring on people that can support us? And also that we can give a little bit of creative freedom to, so that they can really be a part of the design process and contribute their input and feel seen and heard and contribute to a better design overall.
Yeah. And that's tricky. And having worked at other design firms, you both have a point of reference as to what is valuable and how you need to be received as a contributor and as a team member to establish retention, for lack of a better word. And mm-hmm. again, a conversation that's happening a lot in the design community, how do I get my people to stay? Yeah. I know how to get them here, but how do I keep them here?
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, it's kind of like your client experience. It's the same kind of a process. Would you agree?
Definitely. I think that we have really poured into not just our client onboarding process, but our employee onboarding process and what that looks like and what incentives we have and how we appreciate you being here and even how different personalities respond to different types of, communication and reward and things like that. And I think having the two of us and being able to bounce those ideas back and forth and how would you feel appreciated versus how would I feel appreciated, that has helped tremendously in just realizing that not everybody feels that in the same way.
Correct. Yeah. So going back to, again, turning those tables, put yourself in that position and say, how would I like that information to be directed to me? How would I receive it best?
Right.
Yeah.
Any other examples that you're willing to share? I'm sure there's plenty, or maybe not.
I think I would say the other biggest thing and something that we've recently, kind of really dove into is our rebrand and going from 3Salt Design Co., which was so focused on where we were and the aesthetic that we were being asked for, and really bringing out us into the design and saying, we're by the coast, but we don't only do blue homes, can adapt and we're flexible and, it's not a reflection of either of our personal styles necessarily, it is our branded style and it's a reflection of the clients. And so just not being afraid to be kind of stuck into where we were or what we started as and being open to changing that and starting over essentially with this new brand, but trusting that we have, what it takes to keep it going and to build something better with this.
I'm glad I asked for another example because I'm glad you use that example. That's a really good example. And branding is tricky. And again, going back to that trial and error process, it doesn't have to like lock you in a box. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, people. develop as you go and just kind of massage it or whatever. And it can be ever changing. There's this weird, and I don't, let's not talk about age, but from where I come from, when I started in the business, it was like locking your brand and never change it. You can never change your logo. You can never change your name. You can never do any of that. And that's just ridiculous. If I was the same brand and logo that I was 15 years ago, I'd look like a third grader. Things change and businesses evolve and a level of services and change. And I think that your brand should grow and evolve with you.
Exactly. Yeah. It has to reflect that.
Yeah.
Good advice. Well, ladies, we have some signature questions here at the podcast. And so we can't neglect those. Starting with, what would you say is the secret to your survival in the business of design? And so I know that you both have experienced the business of design in different ways over the course of the last several years. So, you can take turns answering that question. Who wants to go first?
I think I will. I think I'm coining this. I've used this word so many times, obviously. Authenticity is our word right now. It's our word for the year. It's our word for our brand. And I think that the best part about having a partnership and kind of entering into this industry so raw, like together, we really were always authentic with one another. Right. Together, even if we developed what we thought the public wanted, or as we, focused on coastal homes or whatever, internally, we've always been really clear about who we are, about what is important to us, about how we want to structure our company, about what kind of projects we have, our long-term goals for the company. Right. So I think us being authentic internally, like with ourselves, has been the best stepping stone for everything that has come after this. And so I think that's the secret, like really being okay with who you are and knowing yourself and also what you're prepared to deliver. If I know that when I started design, I was obsessed with mid-century, right? Modern or whatever. And now, I mean, look at me, I hardly even consider that like the the best parts of my design work now. I have completely evolved over time. And I think that's authentic too. Like changing is still authentic, right? And so I think that that has been the biggest help for our company and for our brand, for our service is like change. We do these things called retrospectives, like at the end of every big project where we kind of sit like, what was amazing about this? Like, what did we do new that was so, so good here that we have to now put it in everything we do? And what was horrible? Like, what will we never do again? What will, do we need to go back to the contract, make sure that we put wording in there? Like, we don't ever do that ever. And like, that's authentic to us. Like, we need to sit and really take in how we feel about the work that we just did and then make changes to that so that we are still authentically being true to ourselves, but also, you know, evolving a brand that really works for not just the public, but for ourselves. Mm-hmm.
I love that word. It's a good word. And you know what? We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to each other as business partners. We owe it to our clients. Like everybody wins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should know what you, this is what you get.
That's right.
True.
That's right. Alex, you want to add to that?
I think that the secret has been knowing where our weaknesses are and knowing when to rely on other people. And when we first started, we worked with some great contractors that would just let us ask any question, you know, why do we do this? How do we do this? I have this idea in my head. How do we make it happen?
Yeah.
And that has just brought us so much more knowledge that I think sets us apart from other designers, because we kind of have a little bit of that build background knowledge as well. And so maybe I don't know exactly how it'll happen, but I have some thoughts on how it could.
Yeah.
And so I can have a different conversation with the contractors about what if we don't do this, but what if we do this instead? And I think it lets us be able to think a little bit more creatively, because we can trust that we can implement those solutions.
Yeah.
So I think leaning on other people for where you don't know something and just not being afraid to ask those questions.
What would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then? And let's see, how far back should we go for then? Maybe just, you know, when you started, you know, dabbling in the idea of launching a business.
I think, you know, we've come through so many iterations of it. And so I think really the thing that we wish we knew then is that we could be ourselves in the business. I think we did a lot to say, this is how we're supposed to run a business.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to partner with a contractor, or we're supposed to take on these types of projects, or, you know, this is what design looks like. And then we're by the beach. And so we're supposed to be doing coastal homes, and we're supposed to be building a brand that reflects that and that looks like that. And I think now that we've kind of gotten past that and can look back, it's easy to say, why did we get pigeonholed into those things? But I think had we known then, we can be Kennedy Cole, you know, we can really just be ourselves and have our own brand voice and our own look that isn't specific to what's going on in the industry right now necessarily. I think that that's something that we've learned.
Yeah.
Lindsay, you want to add to that?
No, I'm doubling down on that. Yeah.
Well, I think it circles back to authenticity, really.
I really think so too.
Yeah.
As she was saying it, that's all I kept thinking, like, know thyself, you know, like really, really know thyself. And we've seen over time as we've worked with other people, like, I think even in school, right, you're taught that this is the way to be a designer, right? They're not teaching. It's like, get a commercial job, whatever it looks like, right? Everybody has gotten all of this advice. Everybody's been projected onto on what it means to be a designer. If your name is not on the door, are you a designer at all, right? And it's like, that's not true. There are so many facets to this industry that are profitable, that are amazing, that are fulfilling, you know, and really just knowing yourself, knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses, being just authentic, I think is really helpful in finding your niche and not feeling like you need to do what everyone is doing. So I think, just doubling down, authenticity.
And how would you guys say that you pay it forward in the design community? And hint, hint, you're doing it right now.
We come on podcast.
Right. So one of our favorite things, and something that I think is kind of unique to us, is that we really try to seek out local vendors, smaller vendors, minority-owned businesses, and we love to partner with people that maybe don't have the accolades yet, you know, but have the skill and do amazing work. And we love to showcase that work.
I love that. I love that. Do you want to add to that, Lindsay?
No, I think that that's just important. I think that we know that there are plenty of people who are not showcased in this industry, and we want to contribute, you know, to that, and making sure that the people who have these amazing skills and these artisans are, they maybe are not in this big brick and mortar doing custom upholstery for West End, but they are doing amazing work.
Yeah. So let's bring them up with us.
Yeah, right? Why not? You know,
love that. Well, ladies, I really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. I think we shared some good stuff today, and we could probably do this for another hour.
Yeah.
But, and I hope we weren't too all over the place, but I really feel like we covered some good stuff. And I think that it's really going to be beneficial to the listeners. So thank you for coming on. Thank you for being an open book and sharing your journey. If anyone wants to learn more about you, how do we find you online and on Instagram?
We are KennedyColeInteriorDesign.com, and our Instagram is KennedyCole_InteriorDesign.
Super easy.
Yep.
All right. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thank you.
I'm so grateful that Lindsay and Alex agreed to be on the podcast and share their insight on the concept of business partnership. Partnerships tend to get a bad rep out there, especially in creative businesses. But I truly believe that with a balanced amount of dedication and communication, a business partnership can be incredibly rewarding. Business partnership doesn't mean that the two partners have to agree on everything. That is simply not practical. What it does mean is that both parties do have to be in agreement of the big picture and be willing to defer to one another in the interest of achieving that vision. There's a difference between delegating and empowering. And I believe that Lindsay and Alex's approach to business and design truly empowers each other and those around them to contribute fearlessly and with passion. If you've identified someone that you relate to on a fundamental business level and feel like exploring a partnership may be worth a conversation, I encourage you to have that conversation. Everyone's definition of the business of design is different, and while a partnership may not be for everyone, there are definitely rewards associated with collaboration, as Lindsay and Alex just shared. Thank you, ladies. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Design Biz Survival Guide. If you love this episode, take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram. And if you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. It really helps us become more visible on the platform to design professionals just like you. Until next time, be safe. Be kind, and get out there and inspire.